Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship. We are studying 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 through 24, as Paul encourages us to take our own performance evaluation with God as the only judge of our performance. This will require some brutal honesty as we consider our own lives in light of the example from Paul, Titus, and the unnamed brother in this text. Please join us in our study of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 through 24. Let's begin by reading verses 10 and 11. "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." What Paul brings up in the first nine verses in bragging about Macedonia is to put forth that example that the Corinthian believers would follow suit and they would perform the things that they need to perform. It's important to remember that performance matters. Performance is not what saves you. Performance isn't what you're doing even to please God. You please God by believing on Him who He has sent. You believe in Jesus Christ and you're saved. And you please God in your daily walk by loving Him with all your heart, mind, and soul and strength. But that then plays out. That's what Paul meant when he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't say work for your salvation. He said work out your salvation. In other words, what's inside? Let it show.
Amen.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's what he's teaching. It's very simple. But we mentioned a few of these last week. Talk is cheap. Put up or shut up. Put your money where your mouth is. I like this one. Anyone can talk a good game. You ever been around somebody like that? Oh, yeah, they can talk a good game. They can tell you, you know, it can be in any area of life. Yeah, I know guys that could fix any car on the planet until you pop the hood and they have to actually do it. You've heard, he's all talk. Well, you don't want people to say that about you. But I also want to give a little disclaimer. There are people today who think that being a good Christian means you're a rug for them to walk on and wipe their feet on. And that's not the case. So when you do that, you're not being a good example, but when you take a stand, they may not like it, and they may say, well, you're a hypocrite Christian, blah, blah, blah. Don't listen to that. You understand what the Bible teaches you, what being a good Christian is all about, and being a floor mat is not part of it. Now, that, again, balance. If they're just cursing you for being a Christian and that sort of thing, you just take it and pray for them.
Amen.
That's right. Turn that other cheek. No one should just put up with meaningless, useless abuse. So let's keep the balance there. But going back, I like people when they say, I hear you. That doesn't mean they're going to actually do what you said. If I may pick on my children this morning, there have been times where I've said, could you please do this? And there's no response. And I'm like, will you do that? Yes, I heard you. I still don't see it. And they think it's that they're on their schedule. And it's not. It's on Dad's schedule. So get moving. Well, a lot of us have to think of God that way. He is our Father. And when He says do something, putting it off, like we talked about with salvation, now is the day of salvation. Well, the same thing with serving the Lord. Don't put it off. If God's shown you something you need to be doing, something as simple as your daily walk, picking up the Word or praying more often or really developing an organized prayer life or any of these things, or it could be a ministry. Only God can tell you that. I can't. But if He's told you and you know that He is speaking to you, then let's see it. That's all He's saying. Now read with me. These are verses 12 through 14. Let's continue. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened.
but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. So there's balance again. The balance is, you know, God knows you can't afford to do things you can't afford to do. I left a ministry. I left a church. I resigned from a ministry one. This is years back. When the pastor declared that God had showed him that everyone in the church should sign over 1 week's pay to the church. And my opinion is God is going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you that. And so then it became this show where they had a date where everybody was going to get up and march around the church and put their 1 week's pay in the offering. It's like toot, toot, you know, talk about tooting your own horn. That's nonsense. That's not God. Don't let anybody come up to you and tell you that God is telling you how much to give or what to do. That's not their place. That's the place of the Holy Spirit. And so he's saying here, first of all, this needs to be of a willing mind. It's not something that you should do out of guilt or legalism. We are under the Spirit. We move by the Spirit, not the law. And it's according to what you have. Don't try to do more than what God's blessed you with. If God wanted you to give more, He'll give you more from which you can give more. When it comes to time. You may want to be more involved in things, but when God gives you more time, now you do have to do some, you know, do some homework and a little self-examination. Maybe you're wasting a lot of time. Maybe you're wasting a lot of money, and He's giving you a lot more than you really think, and you could give more money or time or whatever. But that's, again, you and the Holy Spirit have to work this out. He is your counselor. Jesus called Him the counselor. Now, you think about showing determination, and you can always tell when people are giving you a yarn. You know, they say, well, I want to do this, but this and that. You can just tell it when you look at people. You look at this mouse, you can tell he's serious about getting that cheese. He's... Now, and... somebody means what he says. And that's what you look at people and you look at yourself. Is there evidence I'm really serious about this? Or am I not? Am I showing effort? Am I showing I'm putting forth the... Do I show that I have some desire? And it shows. But more importantly, it shows for the Lord. He's not... What do we think? God is not aware. God knows. God knows your heart. God knows whether you're serious about, I really want to do this. Well, what does God think? Because God knows your heart. And that's the kind of personal self-examination we need to do on these things as we read through this text. Continue reading with me, verses 15 through 17. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went with unto you. So this is referring back, you remember the story of the manna. God provided the manna. But you know, there were people going out and gathering that manna who were physically not capable of gathering as much as the guy next to him. But somehow it all worked out that they all put forth their best effort. They obeyed the command to go. They had to get up and go and collect the manna. And they weren't to go on the Sabbath. And if they did go on the Sabbath, they could be stoned to death. You see, that's an awful extreme example or extreme thing. But what God was saying was, you're destroying the picture that I'm giving to generations. I want all generations to look back on Israel and see that God provides and you need to obey His direction. And when we don't obey His direction, then there are bad things that are going to happen. And we're seeing that today. Man is not obeying God's direction. Bad things are happening. I talked about this last week. Churches and Christians are not obeying God's direction in their lives. And on an individual scale, you can see it destroying people. You can see them crashing and burning and making shipwreck of their faith. Churches are not then doing what they ought to do. When the individuals, we are a body made up of individuals, and when the individuals don't do what they're supposed to do, the body doesn't function the way it's supposed to function. And that's what's going on today, and that's why there is such a dearth of ministry in the world today. And I put it in these terms: when a body of believers is passing this performance evaluation, there will be no want and there will be no need to beg. We could hear testimony from one person after another where there was a need and God met the need. And many times the only person we told was God, and yet the need was met. And to me, that's more exciting. Whenever you stand up and declare your need, first, I want to say there's nothing wrong. By the way, I'm not saying if you have a need, bring it to us as a prayer matter. And God may choose to meet your need in some other way, but He may meet the need right here in the body. But it is interesting, exciting how many times you pray about something and don't even tell another living soul. And then God meets that need. That's exciting. Footnote to what we're talking about. What you're seeing in Japan could happen here. I think you were talking about the fault that we're on. What's it called again? The New Madrid fault line. And the Bible does say in the tribulation period there are going to be earthquakes in diverse manners. And if you want to see a little prophetic truth, go check out the alignment of the tectonic plates on the earth. It's raring to go. And there's going to be one big one that's going to set them all off. And that's the earthquakes in diverse places in tribulation. What you're seeing in Japan is a sign of what's to come. It's just a taste. Just a small taste. And doing these things, you're showing that, number one, you believe that God will take care of you, but you're also obedient because God says for us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And He tells us that we should be prepared to handle these things so that we can show ourselves to be people with wisdom. And then we can help our neighbor. We can help our friend. And there are other things, precautions that you need to consider. We have a generator. And ready, when Ike blew through, I was unprepared. My neighbor Mike, not this one, another Mike. Those mics really come in handy, by the way. And our neighbor Mike had this massive generator welder in his garage and let us hook up a refrigerator so we didn't lose all of our food. And that's when I said, this ain't going to happen again. I'm getting a generator and we're going to be ready if something happens. Just to be prepared. And that's how we can then meet the body's needs, and then we can help meet and reach out to others. And that will probably be a very good opportunity to share the gospel when that time comes. It doesn't have to be the end of the world, by the way. Ike blew through and we needed that stuff. So let's read, continue in verses 18 and 19. Read that with me. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. This is interesting. Who is this brother he's talking about? It's like the unnamed soldier, the unknown soldier. One of the reasons he may not name him is because he knows how people are and they glorify the man rather than the work. But Titus is taking this brother who has whose reputation precedes him. And he says he has praise in the gospel throughout all the churches. Wow. What a quite a statement there. This is just another one of those I had to throw in here because it's so... I've seen this. In 20 years of ministry, I've seen this. And this at the bottom tells you a new member in real estate salesperson, Patricia Cruz, was not clear on the concept of testimony. And she gives a testimony and she says, "And then I thought to myself, where better to meet people, make new friends, and earn big money than at church?" And that is not why you go to church, is to network for business. I'm not saying you can never do that. I mean, if there's you provide a service and people can use that service, then I would, you know, just as soon take my service to a Christian than or someone I actually know than someone I don't. But that's not why you come to church. Let me tell you, I have had people actually tell me that's why they go to the church they go to. One gentleman who has passed on, and he's ashamed of himself but knows better now. And I said, "Well, why do you go there?" Because I know of two or three good churches within his where he lived. He lived down in Southern Ohio. And he told me the reason he went to church was because it was integral. It was necessary to his business. And that the networking and business relationships were indispensable. And I said, "That, you know, that's just not the reason to go to church. You're going to regret that." And these guys, Titus and Paul and this other brother, they didn't go around making business connections and selling things. I've told the story of this has happened more than once, where a preacher came to visit me when I was first in ministry. I wasn't pastoring. And we had moved to a new place. This is going way back. And a pastor came to visit me and spent all of 5 minutes talking about the Bible, the Lord, and church. And his wife was bored as could be, just totally, you know, like she could care less. But then he said, "Well, I don't want to keep you much longer, but since we've talked about churches, one more thing I want to talk to you about." And his wife perked up, got all excited. And that's when he laid out this Amway type thing that he was involved with. And that's really why they'd come to visit. And his wife was bored to death with talk about God. But then when the Amway thing came up, it was like, bing, hallelujah, you know. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I was done with them right there. And never went back to that church. Don't hate them, but it disgusted me. And folks, that's not what it's about. And that's not what Paul was about. And that's not what we're about. I know it's not what you're about. But we need to be reminded to keep focus. We need to keep our focus. You get your eyes up. What did David do when he saw Bathsheba and then ended up into that horrible situation? He lost his focus and got it over here on something else on the neighbor's roof. We got to keep our focus. So let's read verses 20 through 22. Read that with me. "Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you." That this brother he's talking about was someone who had focus and did want to prove himself by his performance. Again, not earning anything with God that way, but doing it for the sake of those in the church who see you and those outside the church who see you. And that's our concern. That's what I said again last week. Don't be inward turned. Don't just think me, me, me. Be outward turned. Think about my life and my actions and the effect they're going to have on those around us. So read verses 23 and 24 now. "Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf." So here are these guys. He's kind of giving a bit of an advertisement to. They're really great men of God, focused, selfless, outward looking. And now he's saying, that's how we want you to be. We want you to kind of watch what you see in Titus and this other brother and mimic that. Follow that example. So I've always pointed my girls to reading some of the great biographies, not of the big time famous people, but of these unknown, unheard of missionaries and servants of the Lord. I highly recommend, as in the days of Noah, if you want a good book, autobiography, that'll be a wonderful, encouraging testimony for especially those of us a little older. Noah Hutchings. And it's as in the days of Noah. He's 88 years old and still full-time serving the Lord. And he's had quite a journey. And it hasn't been all a bowl of cherries. He had a spouse who went psychotic on him and all that. And he had issues with other ministries and all these kind of things. Traveling overseas, he was thrown in prison. But what a great testimony of endurance. You need to, I'm trying to think of the word you hear a lot of these days, and that is accountability. It's accountability. But we shouldn't really need anyone else to jump in and tell us. We should have an accountability system. And I tell you, be very aware of what's going on. A lot of churches today, they have these small groups and they tell you to spill your guts. And then you have a bunch of people you don't even know who know your most intimate sins and details. And then they use it against you. Listen, that's never in the Scripture. They'll use a couple verses out of context, but there's never an example of the church doing that. I've cut people off in testimony where they start to share, and I'm like, whoa, don't go too detailed in this thing here. I mean, this is between you and the Lord. Tell us you're struggling, but you don't have to get specific on what it is. And that's just a dangerous thing I want to warn you about. The performance evaluation, just want to be clear, is between you and the Lord. And you should be honest with God because He already knows. Don't cover up while you're praying and talking to the Lord about your sin or your struggles or whatever your trials are. He already knows. And then when you spill it out like that in front of the Lord, He then speaks to you, helps you, guides you in dealing with these things. And that's your performance evaluation. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul's encouraging these folks to have that kind of relationship with the Lord. He's not talking about a group therapy session here. Just want to make that clear. And then we can't miss this. He's basically asking, you say you love God, can you prove it? Is there proof among those that you work with, those you live with, those who share the same house, same under the same roof with you, should be the first to say, he's not perfect, he is human, she's not perfect, she's human, but I live with the real deal. James is a good book. You ought to read it. It's about, what, 5 chapters? Not a long read. Powerful book. And it's all about practical Christianity. It's about living it. And he says in verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. If your body hath not oxygen, you are dead. If your faith doesn't have works, then basically you're not exhaling. And only dead bodies don't exhale. That's what he's saying. Now, of course, we can't go without saying that performance does not save you. And bring back an oldie but goodie here. But the dog is witnessing to the cat, and the cat says, repentance for what? Perfection? But if you have that attitude, then you're not going to be saved. We do need to keep in mind, I'm going to make a couple of closing thoughts here, that a hollow profession will be what marks the last day's church. And we are in the last days, so what better time for the church to pay attention to this warning? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, I condensed for our purpose here. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Can you say amen?
Amen.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Inward turn, all about me, all about me. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Key, don't quit reading. From such turn away. That's why we rebuke the apostasy and the immorality and the apathy, because we're told to. And we turn away from it because we're commanded to. And it doesn't have anything to do with hate. It actually has to do with love. All true Christians, though, will obey this. And we do so out of love, to tell folks, listen, there's something wrong. You're in apostasy. You need to come out from among them and be separate. And that's motivated by love. And number two, repeating again, our salvation and our calling, and we're really talking more about our calling here, it's not of works. Even your calling is not of works. You have to understand that. 2 Timothy 1:9, I want you to read it with me. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. When God saved you, it wasn't because He saw, cha-ching, I'm going to hit the big time with this boy. You know, He's going to do, you know, that isn't why He saved you. Moses kept saying no, you remember? Oh, no, Lord. No, I don't talk well. I'm not really a politician. I'm kind of like, you know, in the back room there doing the figures and, you know. God said, who made your mouth? I made it. I can make it work. And so we have to understand that. On one hand, we are not called to our ministry because of our wonderful talents and everything. But the other side of that is, it's for His purpose. That is an awesome thing to contemplate. God is moving you into a ministry. He's got a purpose. Isn't that a tremendous thing to think that God has a purpose for you? You serve a purpose? Meditate on that. Think about that. Pray about that. That's an awesome thing to think about. Yes, we are small in this world. 7 billion people, and you're one of them. And that's just who's alive now. But to God, it's all there. You don't get lost in the crowd. You're not just a number. God does not identify you by your social security number. Do you know that? He knows your name. He's got a name waiting on you. Do you know that? Revelation says He's going to give you a stone with a name on it. A new name that only He knows. He's already got that for you. You've already got a new name waiting on you. And God has picked that name for you. And He's picked that name for you, and He's also got a purpose for you. And so we have to open our minds and our hearts, and no one else can do it for you. No one else can open your eyes to what God has called you to do. And no one else should try. It's all between you and the Lord. Be sure to visit our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com. where you can find a wealth of MP3 audio message downloads, along with additional videos, articles, and links. This message is brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. I am Greg Miller. Thank you for listening.